Welcome to Season 2 of The Voice Behind the Pen, hosted by author and screenwriter S.C. Dickens. Before we move into this new season, we'd like to thank everyone for tuning in, following, subscribing, rating, and sharing Season 1. Keep sending in your feedback as it helps us get better at delivering a quality show for you all to enjoy. A special thanks to all of the guests from Season 1, Freeze, Tony Hale III, Mark Six Mitchell, Empress Rolanda, William Young, Keith Lakeen Powell, Victor L. Martin, John Alexander, Brianna Cole, and Marcus Massey. Thank you all for coming on and sharing your expertise, mindset, and wisdom. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, send SC an email via the email link at www.theauthorscdickens.com. While you're on the site, be sure to check out SC's ghostwriting services and other works on the store page. If you'd like to advertise on the show, or you'd like production work for any of your projects, send me an email at faxtheproducer@gmail.com. That's fax with a Z. So, as usual, kick back, grab whatever your go-to is to let loose, and please enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Voice Behind the Pen podcast. I'm your host, author, and screenwriter, S.C. Dickens. And in tonight's episode, I have had the honor to have actor Steve Witt join me. Steve's journey is a fascinating blend of bravery and creativity. From serving in the United States Air Force to captivating audiences on screen, Steve's story is one of resilience, dedication, and passion. His connection to the horror movie Halloween has left an indelible mark on his career. And today, we'll uncover the intricates of his journey, exploring the depths of his experience both in the Air Force and in Hollywood. Join us as we unreel the layers of Steve's wit, life, from his early acting endeavors to the challenges he faced breaking into the industry, and how his military background continues to shape his perspective on life and work. So without further ado, let's dive into the captivating conversation with Steve Witt.
Good evening, Steve. How are you, my brother?
Doing well, SC. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good, man. I can't complain. I just wanted to tell you, man, I appreciate you coming on with your busy schedule and everything.
Oh, my pleasure. I appreciate
you coming, man, for real, you know. On Mondays, you know, I bring in somebody that's an author, and on Wednesdays, I bring in somebody that's in the film industry, you know, and with you being an actor, I wanted to ask you a couple of questions.
Of course.
So my first question is, what inspired you to pursue acting?
Okay, so that's actually a really cool story. So I was in school for education, and my daughter was living with me at the time, and I had her in cheerleading. So she's at cheerleading practice one day, and they filmed the movie Halloween, the new Michael Myers one, in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
They filmed that in Charleston. So the casting director was at her cheerleading practice, looking through the park, trying to pick extras to be trick-or-treaters.
Uh-huh.
My daughter raises her hand, says, "Excuse me, sir, my mom and dad say I'm going to be famous one day because I'm so dramatic." And after that happened, she got an audition for the movie. She got a callback, another callback, and I'm taking her to all these auditions and callbacks. She ended up getting on set. She shot with Jamie Lee Curtis and Judy Greer, and I got to meet Nick Castle, who was the original Michael Myers, and just a really awesome experience. Her scene ended up getting cut, but she got a. I asked the casting director. I said, "I want to see her exceed and excel in acting if she wants to do it. Do you have any recommendations for an agent?" So she hooked me up. He hooked me up with my agent now, Linda Eisen with Coastal Talent. And so I was taking my daughter to audition after audition. And then one day she gets an audition for a Google commercial. So I'm super excited for her. She's super excited. We go there. We get there. And the casting director was the same casting director from Halloween who saw her in the park that day. He's like, "Okay, kiddo, I already know you. You got the part." I was like, "Awesome." So we start walking out the door, and then he's like, "Hey, Dad, Like, yeah. Do you want to audition? I said, sure, why not? I auditioned, got the part, got signed with Coastal Talent, worked with David Gordon Green as my first director on the set. The commercial didn't get aired, but it was still an awesome experience, and the rest is history.
Oh, wow, that's a cool story. That really is a cool story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how did it feel being on the set of Halloween, knowing that this is the movie that scared most people all the time?
Oh, it was so awesome. It was so awesome and unreal. You know, sitting next to Nick Castle while he's watching my daughter film with Judy Greer and Jamie Lee Curtis, it was like the coolest experience ever. And I got to meet Jamie and shake her hand, and it was just unreal. But you know, when you're new on set, you don't really know what's going on all the time. So when my daughter was filming, the crew was like, make sure that you always have eyes on your kid. So I was like, okay, cool. And they said, just make sure you're not on set. I said, I can do that, I think. And so I'm watching my daughter while we're on set, and she's on set, and I'm watching her from a distance thinking that I'm in the clear. I look around in the room I'm in. There's nobody there, but there's this woman in the doorway. And I look, and I do a double take, and I'm like, oh my God, it's you. It was Jamie Lee Curtis. And I was like, oh my God, it's you. And she says, yeah, it's me. Get off the set. And I was like, oh no. I was like, oh no. But she came up to me at lunch and she shook my hand. She said, just so you know, that was really funny. So definitely cleared my conscience. I thought that I got my daughter in trouble. And yeah.
Well, you know, that's a cool story to tell, you know, mm-hmm. Be like, yeah, I met Jamie Lee Curtis. She yelled at me.
Yep.
You know, are there any particular roles that you are looking for or that you would want to venture into?
So I've always been told I'm like the goofy dad or the fun teacher or maybe a happy-go-lucky doctor. Or I can do real serious roles like attorneys or detectives or something of that nature. I've done mafia scenes with my buddy Justin, and I enjoy doing a whole variety of things.
Okay. What would be the most challenging role that you think that you could take on? Cause you do it. You have a look that you could be a doctor or attorney, or you understand what I'm saying? You have that book, right? So, mm-hmm. and I know, okay, so let's go a little deeper into that. You know, I know you got a, you're a vet.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the Air Force, right?
I was, yes, sir.
So do you think reliving something like your past, like the military, I don't know if you were in combat or anything like that. Would you take on a role like that?
I did go to Afghanistan, and I did experience some mortar attacks. So I'm a little jumpy when there's like random noises that are super loud. Like if there's fireworks that are not on 4th of July, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm fine. You know, like I get through it. But yeah, I would love to be able to do a military role. I don't think it would be a negative experience. I would be able to pull out a lot of things that I've been through personally to really get that character into a great character. But honestly, the hardest role I think for me, if I were to get a role, would be if it was a biopic or a documentary style. Because when you're portraying somebody who was really a person, you have to really dive into who that person is, what they're all about, how they think, how they eat their breakfast, how they, you know, get ready in the morning. Like you want to embody that person. Whereas if you have a random fictional character, you get to create that character.
Yeah. That's true. You do. Cause it's like you got to walk around with them and mimic them. And you hear about some actors getting lost into that character. And it's like, yo, you know, he act like this dude. He talks like this dude. He'll even dress like him or eat like him. And he won't even wash up because he wants to betray, you know, somebody, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell Can you tell us about a role that taught you something significantly about yourself and your acting skills?
So actually, the most influential role that I ever had was actually for a stage play. I did Antigone when I was in college, and I got the lead role of Creon, who was the king of Thebes. Uh-huh. And 65 pages is roughly what the script was, and about 35 of those 65 pages was my dialogue and monologue. So I wasn't allowed to leave the stage the entire show. So it's about an hour and a half total, and I did not leave the stage. And so I learned what it meant to really get into character, really understand the lines, really understand the reason why I was saying those lines, what every one of them meant. It was Antigone. So it was written in 440 BC by Sophocles. So super old verbiage. It was just such an in-depth role, and I really had to bring out a lot of emotion, because at the end, Creon loses everything, and he just has to be completely overwhelmed with guilt and sorrow and anger and frustration at his decisions, and having to pull out that emotion really pushed me as an actor.
Okay. Now, I know you, when you're doing films, you know, you might be on set for X amount of hours or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it might take a couple of months. Do you think that that at your current state, would you be able to do a television series?
I would love to do a television series. My thing is if I ever get the opportunity to do a TV series or a movie or anything, I'm dropping what I'm doing and I'm going, because acting is my dream. Acting is something that I love to my core, and a 9-to-5 job isn't going to stop me from pursuing my dreams.
That's a great way to look at it, you know. And a lot of people, they you know, I tell everybody, you know, the state that I'm in now, I tell everybody, I said, listen, I says, if you feel uncomfortable about a situation, that's the situation you need to be in.
Yep.
Because when you're successful, there's no comfortability in being successful. You have to be uncomfortable. And because if there was, there'll be more successful people. If successful people were in comfortable situations, the world would be so successful. Because a lot of people live their lives being comfortable.
Yeah, you know? Well, what makes a diamond? Pressure.
Exactly. You know, they like the analogy of, are you an egg or a potato? One is hard, right? And one is soft. But if you put them in hot water, they switch roles.
Yep.
They switch roles.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it is.
Wow. I mean, I've heard that analogy before years ago, and I love that you brought it back to my attention today, because it's a great analogy.
Have you ever had to improv a scene? And if you did, how did the director take it?
So, I've never been on stage where I had to improv for anybody, fortunately, in an actual production. However, I have done improv scenes for fun, and it's just, it's so interesting how improv works versus how scripted work.
Yeah.
Turns out it's just, you know, you're pulling from every single part of your creative brain, and you can create your own gestures. You can create your own facial expressions and emotion and dialogue. And if you have a good partner who can bounce back and forth with you, it's easy. You don't have to make sense necessarily, because when we talk, sometimes we don't make sense, you know?
Yeah.
but you know, as long as you're going with it and going with the flow and having fun with it, and you at least have a storyline that you're sticking to, it's some of the most fun you can ever have.
Yeah. Well, since you said that you don't have any improvising, do you have any tips on teaching somebody how to memorize their lines and the delivery?
So what I do is first I score the script. So I put in my beats, I put in my, you know, how I feel like I'm going to be feeling for each line, highlighting everything. And then I will run over the lines. I'll just say my line. If it's like a monologue, I'll start with the first sentence and I'll say the first sentence three times. And then I add the next sentence and I say the first two sentences three times. And then I add the third sentence and I just keep adding little by little. And if I get stuck on a sentence, I'll go word for word. I'll literally read it off word for word. And add one word at a time after three times. Other times, if it's really lengthy dialogue, I'll write it out. Cause if you write with a pencil or a pen on paper, for some reason, it just sticks to your brain a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
And last but not least is when I've got dialogue, but I don't have somebody to read for me, I'll record myself reading the other person's lines. And then in my head, I'll give myself enough time to say my line and then put their line up there. And I'll just go based off of the recording. But yeah. And sometimes I'll record myself reading the entire scene and I'll listen to it on repeat for about a day or two. And yeah, it's stuck in my head. It's like music.
Okay. So I got one that I know a lot of people ask. Have you ever worked with a co-star or director that was difficult?
Hmm.
And how did you navigate through it? And if you haven't, how do you think you would navigate through it?
So the worst.
And you don't have to give any names. I don't want to put you on the spot.
Oh, no names, no names. I think that my most difficult experience with a co-star was when I was a kid. You know, you have those sassy, you know, theater kids who think that the world revolves around them. And I remember one of them just being really sassy. And I was like, look, I know that you're the lead role. I'm proud of you. That's awesome. But, you know, we're all in this together. yeah. But I mean, as an adult, as a screen actor, I haven't experienced any negative experiences with co-stars or directors. I've been very fortunate. I've grown a lot of friendships, and built a relationship with the acting community in Charleston. And I feel very blessed, to work with all the directors and the actors that I have worked with. If I were to deal with a difficult co-star at this point in my life, I'd just be like, hey, you know, let's go have a talk. Like, let's see, like, why are we not getting along? Where's the disconnect here? And try and talk through it. And hopefully they'll be willing to. If not, if they're just like, look, I'm top notch and everybody's beneath me, I'll just let them do their thing and shine their light on the cameras, and I'll just do my best to act as good as I can so that even the lead is looking at me like, oh, okay, I gotta look out for him.
All right, so I got another one for you. How do you deal with romantic roles? Because, you know, some people don't understand, you know, when you do the romantic roles, you got things like modesty garments where mm-hmm. people look like they're naked, but they're really not because of the garment that's covering their private parts or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And now this is the second part of the question. Now, if you say, oh, no, I won't do any, what actress would make you break that rule?
That's a good question. I mean, I've never been against those kind of scenes as long as they're done with a little bit of taste, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to show my everything to everybody. But I think that with the right director and the right actress alongside me, maybe Scarlett Johansson, if I'm lucky, you know, if that worked out,
put it out in the universe, my brother.
Yep. But yeah, honestly, I am all for it. As long as the Son with Taste and Class and the people on set all feel comfortable, you know, and that's all it is. It's comfort. And, you know, you have to have trust with your scene partner that, you know, you're going to do the scene, you're going to be touching each other, you're going to be kissing, you're going to be holding each other close. As long as they feel comfortable and you feel comfortable, it's a great idea. It's a great thing to have in cinema because it really adds to a lot of, like, especially romance movies. Yeah. That passion in those scenes really sets a fire for a lot of viewers.
Yeah. Well, you know, they normally, when they have productions like that, they normally have an intimacy coach or intimacy director, you know, yep, working everybody through it, talking to the female. Usually they pull the female to the side and make sure that she's comfortable with what she's about to do.
Yep.
You know, because that could be very uncomfortable for a woman, you know, because she's like, yo, the whole world, you know, you don't know who's going to see this film, you know, yep, where most men be like, yeah, listen, they start stripping down at the audition. Like, I'll do a romantic role, you know.
It always makes me think, you ever see Friends?
Yes. The TV show you talk about.
Yeah. Do you remember remember when Joey goes in for the audition and they want him to do full nude, but they want him to be uncircumcised?
No, I don't remember that one.
Oh, it's hilarious. He puts like Play-Doh on his thing.
Uh-huh.
And then he opens up his robe so that he could show the casting director his privates, and the Play-Doh falls off and he's just like, well, guess that's not it. Pretty funny.
Is there any scene, I mean, has there been any role that you've taken that it has taught you a skill?
Well, I did a commercial for a diabetes product, you know, the sensors that go on the arms.
Uh-huh.
So I was doing one of those and they wanted us to play pickleball, and I had never played pickleball a day in my life. I'm not good at tennis and I'm not the greatest at ping pong, but they put me in pickleball, which is like a combination of those two, and I'm running around and I'm having fun and playing. And yeah, that was the biggest, I guess, skill you could say I learned was playing pickleball. but I would love to be able to do like some stunt work. Nothing crazy, but like maybe falling off of a building onto one of those big giant blue trampoline type of things.
Yeah.
I would love to be able to do something like that, but haven't had that opportunity just yet.
Okay, so that sparks another question then. Mm-hmm. So since you say you wouldn't mind doing the stunt work or whatever, mm-hmm, what do you think about fight scenes?
So fight scenes? So I actually had this conversation with one of my buddies a couple of weeks ago. So I bought the James Bond collection, you know, like James Bond from Goldfinger and Dr. No all the way to... there's No Time to Die. So I got all 25 films and I was watching them, and you watch the originals, the fight scenes were so obviously choreographed, right?
Yeah. And
everything was just so slow motion compared to what it is now. Now fight scenes are, it's like you have to be an amazing dancer to dance like people dance these days. You have to be an amazing actor to be able to move in the ways that you need to move to make those fight scenes look real today. Because there's no joke about them. They look real.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, oh, hey, I'm going to throw a punch and then you're going to hear boom, and then all of a sudden the person switches to the other person on set, and they're falling backwards. Like, that's not what it is anymore. It's literally like looking like you're punching somebody but not actually punching them.
Yeah. It's not the days of Johnny West, Batman. You know?
Exactly.
Where, you know, where you could telegraph it. They punch so slow you could put a watch on their wrist, you know?
Yep. Exactly. Now it's fast-paced like the Marvel movies.
Yeah.
Incredible fight scenes.
And you'd be surprised on how long, and some people don't understand that takes a long time. Sometimes they're in there training for 3 months at a time, all day long.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to learn how to do that stuff. I would love it. But like you just said, 3 months, it takes discipline. Being an actor takes discipline, and you have to really love what you do in order to do it well. And that's what I think I love so much about movie stars these days. You can really tell that they have a passion for what they're doing. Robert Downey Jr. is one of my favorites, because you look at him, you look at his past and where he came from to where he is now, and how many amazing roles he's been in. And he, you know, Iron Man, he's done so much fight choreography, it's not even funny. And he brought Marvel to life with Iron Man. You know, I know it started with Blade and Wesley Snipes, and that was really the opening for superhero movies, or for Marvel cinema. But now, with everybody that's in Marvel, you know, I just look at Robert Downey Jr.'s success and his last film, and it's just like he's just so incredible. And then he did Oppenheimer, and absolutely killed that role. He's incredible. And I don't have a perfect clean history or anything like that. I'm not perfect. I've been through my struggles in life. And I, to be able to see somebody else go through something worse than me and be able to come out successful really pushes me to continue pursuing my passion.
Yeah. That took a lot of heart too, and courage to say that, you know, on the podcast, you know,
because
a lot of times people, we have demons that we fight, you know, and some we could visually look at somebody and say, oh yeah, he's going through something. And sometimes it's internal, you know, so that took a lot of courage. And I appreciate that you trusted me enough to say that on the podcast.
You know,
is there any producer that you would like to work with?
A24 is putting out a lot of cool stuff these days in Blumhouse. I would like to work with those two because I've seen, I love their movies. They do a lot of horror. And I feel like I could get a good role in a horror movie with them. And I think it'd be a good foot in the door.
Okay. If you could play a superhero, who would it be?
Oh, my goodness.
So, and why?
It would be Black Panther. Uh-huh. And honestly, I could never play that role, obviously. But the reason why is because the family connection that he has with his father, and the rituals that go along with becoming the Black Panther, and the culture that's in his world. Wakanda is just such an incredible place. Black Panther's powers are, I mean, he's a badass. Pardon my language, but he's just a badass. His costume is completely functional. He's got the claws. He's got the where he absorbs the energy from bullets and then just unleashes it all. He's awesome. And you know, he was played by such an incredible actor who went through so much. And you know, even while fighting cancer, he was able to put on a brave face for other people, children fighting cancer, and being their hero while he was struggling with the same thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
One of my martial art brothers, Maurice Crump, we studied the same art, Toshin Do. And I'm going to try to talk to him and see if I can get him on the podcast. He was the one that was training Chadwick.
Yeah.
For the Black Panther role.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I want to see about getting him up here. And maybe we could talk a little about that, you know, because that was a huge loss for him. He was in a couple of other movies. I think it was like Sudden Death. He was in with Michael Jai White.
Mm-hmm.
He had a fight scene with him at the arena.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen that movie. What's it called?
I think it's Sudden Death. I think that's what it's called. I'm going to have to look
that up because I love Michael Jai White and Chadwick.
Yeah, it was. I can't remember. And I could be saying it wrong. I could be where he's, you know, I'm trying to remember the name of the movie, but I know he's in that movie. Chadwick. I mean, Michael Jai White. He's in the movie. They get into a fight scene in the locker room, you know. And, of course, Maurice loses the fight. But if you knew Maurice and you've seen his skill level, you know that wouldn't have went down.
Like, yeah.
You know, but.
Nice.
What would you tell your younger acting self about what is ahead for you now, if you can go back into time?
So, and I love that question. I was actually going through some old family memories and, you know, photo books and stuff like that. And I pulled out something from when I was in kindergarten and it says, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I put actor. And I wanted to be an actor so bad when I was a kid. And I was in plays and musicals and I was always auditioning. And when I got to high school, I auditioned for West Side Story. I didn't get a part, and I stopped acting for a long time. Stopped acting through high school. Went to the military. Didn't do a lot of acting in the military, although I was a broadcast journalist and combat videographer. But broadcast journalism, you get to be a news anchor. You learn how to be a news anchor. And it got me back in front of the camera and got me thinking I could do this. I could do this again. And then when everything happened with my daughter, and me getting back into it, I guess I would just say to my younger self, don't stop pursuing your dream. Just because you get a rejection does not mean that you can't get an acceptance later.
Yeah, that's important. You gotta always look past, you know, because sometimes we'll be in a valley, you know, and that's what I tell people. When you're struggling, you're in a valley and you're looking up at a mountain and you want to climb that mountain. But sometimes it's just so hard. You don't know what you're going to come across. You don't know what's, you know, what terrain you're going to go through or whatever. But when you get to the top of that mountain and now you can look down at the valley, everything looks so smooth.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Everything looks so smooth, you know?
And acting is a business of rejection. You've got to be okay with rejection. Rejection does not mean that you're not good enough. It just means that you weren't the right fit for that role. We are one of billions of people on this planet. And there are thousands of people out there who want to pursue acting. And if you get the opportunity to audition, if you get asked to audition, that's a huge honor in and of itself.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I tell everybody, no means new opportunities.
Yep.
That's the acronym for no. You know, you think about how many people got a no, and look at them now. Look at where they're at now. You know,
right.
They're multi-millionaires, multi-billionaires, you know, but they didn't go with just no. No is not the final answer.
Right.
No, it's just the moment. It'll stop you for a little bit, but that should also encourage you, because anytime you fail, that means you tried at least once.
Yeah.
You know? So in closing, can you share with everybody your social media or how they can get in contact with you if they wanted to have you audition for a part in a movie?
Sure. So my Instagram is WITT7227. So WIT7227. My Facebook, I'm Steve Witt. And I'm pretty sure that's my only social media. Oh, and if you want to email me, it's steven.wit1@yahoo.com. Steven with a V.
All right, my brother. I appreciate you coming on the show again, man.
All right. Thanks so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, man. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's another episode of the Voice Behind the Pen podcast. I'm your host, author, and screenwriter, S.E. Dickens. Good night, everyone.